I'm speaking today with Councilmember Mike Sullivan, who is the incumbent in District E. Councilmember, you are in your first term in office. Tell me, has the reality of being a councilmember lived up to what you thought it would be when you were running for the office?
Well, first of all, good morning, and thanks for coming in and doing the interview and giving me a chance to be on your blog. I know I read it daily, and I'm sure a number of other people do too. For me, the city councilman responsibilities were a little bit eye-opening, although I had an idea, if you will, of what it was going to be like because I was a longtime volunteer for Councilmember Michael Berry. So it wasn't a new world to me. I understood it, but what is different now is that I actually am, quote-unquote, the council member, and it is a little different.
I mean, District D, of course, you know, Kingwood down to Clear Lake, how do you stay in touch with people in the district where you have to drive, you know, what, 50 miles just to get from one end of it to the other?
Well, for me, it's time management, and I'm also the third council member to do it. You know, of course, Rob Todd was council member when the city annexed Kingwood, so he had been elected from the Clear Lake area and had to then service Kingwood, and did. My predecessor, Councilmember Addie Wiseman, had to do the same thing, and now I'm just kind of following in their footsteps. It works well for me in that I start almost every day, 7 days a week, literally, here at City Hall in my office, getting organized and taking care of business, and then running out to events and functions and looking at projects that we have underway in the district. So it's just good time management more than anything else. I would rather drive 20 to 30 miles from here than, for instance, to have Pam Holmes' district and take the same amount of time to drive 4 miles or 5 miles. And it might seem kind of crazy, but if I'm in my car, I can be making phone calls or texting or taking care of business.
Hopefully not while you're driving, right?
Never. Not since, no. And not in the school zone. Not in the school zone.
Yes. So what has been going on in the district lately? What projects, what have people been seeing in the district lately? What have you been working on?
Yeah, well, you know, I campaigned on five fundamental points, and I keep my old push card here, and I really do as a reminder. And I had five bullet points: public safety, transportation and mobility, returning tax dollars to District E, drainage and flooding, and constituent services. And we use this as a benchmark because not to try to do a cliche, but it's kind of my contract with the voters. I mean, that's why I think they voted for me, is because those are things I said that I would do. And I've worked on each and every one of those. Just 2 weeks ago, for instance, we had a major flooding and drainage town hall meeting down in the South Belt area. Now, while it floods in a lot of places, in District D, it floods too often in the South Belt area, around Beamer Road, Hughes Road, in the Sagemont, Sage Glen areas. And we had representatives there from the Corps of Engineers, Harris County Flood Control, two Harris County precincts, and then, of course, our city officials. And it was a two-hour meeting. We had about 130 people in the audience, which is a big crowd for a small town hall meeting. So we're delivering on things that we said that we would do. I've had 20 through last week, 20 town hall meetings since I've been elected in my district. Some have been specific to CIP, and others have been just an opportunity for the public to come and talk to their council member about issues and concerns they have. On the public safety front, I work very closely with HPD and Houston Fire Department, and also view my work that I did during Hurricane Ike as part of my public safety commitment. On the returning tax dollars to the district, I've tried to balance it as much as I could of spending dollars where I have the influence, not that I have all the influence on tax dollars where they're spent, but balancing spending money between the north sector and the south sector. And I use Interstate 10 as a divider. So everything north of I-10, you know, from there up to Kingwood, I call the north sector, and everything south of I-10, south sector. In the north end, we're building a new library, new community center, we're widening roads, and we're repairing concrete roads, major thoroughfares. In the South Belt, we're building a new library, a new community center, expanding some parks. And in Sylvan Rodriguez Park, we're working on updating and have updated a master plan. Sylvan Rodriguez Park is a 109-acre park out off of Clear Lake City Boulevard and Highway 3. So we're doing a lot throughout the district, and those are returned. That's my promise to return tax dollars. And the other two are constituent services. I take a lot of pride in that. Some council offices have what I call kind of a revolving door where they're not able to keep staff. And constituents get frustrated because when they call a council office, they talk to one person one time, they talk to another person another time, they're not familiar with the problem. We have used the large district that I have to our advantage in that we have a North Sector Manager, Autumn Jodzio, who's been here since day one, and she handles every constituent issue in the North Sector. Doesn't matter if it's parks, public safety, budget, complaints, potholes, whatever. In the South Sector, same thing. Lauren Doak handles it. So she is my face in the community, and she's the expert on constituent services in the South Sector. We return every email and phone call that we get. We take a lot of pride in doing it quickly. We don't use autoresponders or auto-reply. We respond to people every single day, and that's important to us. And then I work all every weekend, so I stay in touch with people on the weekends as well. And then the last area is transportation and mobility. We just completed, and we have a rough draft of a major transportation and mobility study for Clear Lake. We're going over that right now with Public Works. So that will lay out the priorities for the Clear Lake area that need to be addressed. I'm working with the South Belt Ellington Chamber and the South Belt Ellington Leader, which is a newspaper, to work on issues that they bring to my attention. And then in the North End, we did a traffic study in 2004, and we're implementing those recommendations now as I sit here today. Everything from traffic signal improvements to widening roads to adding right turn lanes to intersections, just things to improve the flow of traffic.
Well, since you just mentioned traffic lights, you've been kind of a critic of the red light cameras. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
I have been, and we don't have many of them in my district, and I will probably fight against any that are proposed for my district. It's a philosophical issue in one respect, but it's also technical in that I think that the funding sources have not returned dollars to where they were intended to be used, and that's for our trauma care centers. So we're sending all of our money to Austin and it not coming back to us as it was intended, and that's been troubling for me. Now, the red light camera program has also, the contract was just, not just renewed, pardon me, the contract right now has a default rate of, I want to say, about 45% of people that are not paying their citations because they know that there are no penalties. Sure, it's a civil penalty, and sure, there's an administrative fee that goes on top of it, and it shows up on your credit report, all that neat stuff. But if people don't care, they don't care. So we've got about $10 million in uncollected red light camera fees right now, and we can't collect them. People just won't pay them. So I think the program has a lot of improvements that could be made to it, both in technology, the scope of the program, and collection of the fees and fines.
So would you prefer to see it discontinued, or for the improvements you cite to be made? Which is your preference?
I'll be honest with you. I would be open to a full evaluation of the program and to give everybody a voice at the table. You know, this administration, I love Bill White. I have worked very well with him, very closely with him, and I think we've helped each other. I think I've helped him in Kingwood and Clear Lake to get over some of the anti-Houston sentiment, and he has helped me by marshaling through projects to the district. But just in June, I believe it was, may have been July, the administration brought an agenda item to us to vote on extending the contract 5 years. And it wasn't because the contract was good or the contract was perfect or all these kinks had been worked out. It was, let's hurry up and renew this contract before a new law kicks in that prohibits us from renewing these contracts. And it's things like that that give me indigestion. I think there are ulterior motives, and it's not an open, transparent process. Now, transparency is a buzzword. That is a true example of something not being transparent.
Okay. Well, it's interesting you mentioned something like that because a couple of months ago I mentioned after a particular vote on city council that I said something to the effect of, whenever there's a 13-1 vote on council, it's usually Sullivan who's the no, and you sent me an email after that disputing my characterization, so let me give you this opportunity here now to respond to that.
Sure, you bet. It was a tongue-in-cheek comment on your part.
It was.
Took it that way, and you know that when I contacted you, it was just to say, hey, come get to know me a little bit, and you'll see that I'm not a cynic, I'm not an automatic no vote. It's funny, up until recently, I would openly joke that Councilmember Jones and I always vote the same,
right.
And we really do.
Which is a little mind-bending when you think about it.
Exactly, because we're so different in so many respects. I'm the district council member. She's at large. She takes on a lot of social issues. I'm a nuts and bolts blue-collar council member. But many times when we vote no on an issue, the reasons are different, but we end up with the same result. And that's just kind of funny. So a lot of people will look at me and think that since I'm a Republican, I'm conservative, I'm from Kingwood, Clear Lake, that I'm going to automatically vote no. And I think part of that is that my predecessor, Councilmember Addie Wiseman, was well known for being a critic of everything that went on down here at City Hall. When I campaigned, I was very honest and very open to my entire constituency. Everybody in District E, one of the first things I said was, I want to work with this mayor for the good of the city and for the good of my district. And if that means voting with him, when he's right, I'll do it. When he's wrong, I'll vote against him, and I'll not, you know, be in his back pocket or anybody else's back pocket. So in the past, when my predecessor voted no, I don't think it carried the same influence or impact as when I cast a no vote. And when I cast a no vote, I always explain it at the table why I'm voting no. I want people to understand why I'm taking the position I am.
Okay. As you know, right now the city is facing some financial difficulties. There was a report from Controller Parker talking about there being a $103 million shortfall. Mayor White has disputed that, and I've heard a number of people explain to me, the reason being having to do with the way funds from the city's reserves are counted. I guess the question I have for you is, what's your assessment of the city's financial position right now, and of the actions that are being proposed to deal with the shortfall, whatever magnitude you think it is, what's your opinion of that?
That is an open-ended question with a lot of different answers, but let me just be real frank, and I'm always direct with people, and people either like it or they don't like it, but they still get a frank answer from me, and they get honesty. I have said publicly that I'd like for the mayor, the controller, to come together and come up with a real number. I think it's hard on any city council member, and it's certainly hard on me, to decide, is the mayor right or is the controller right? Let's work together, get one set of numbers that we all agree on so that we know what to work toward. The mayor drives the agenda, and if he wants to drive us to believe and to work toward filling a $25 to $30 million budget deficit, that's where we're headed, frankly, because he's the mayor. The controller, on the other hand, says it's $100 million plus, then how do I know what to work toward? And that's my biggest problem right now. Now, I voted against the mayor's budget. There were two no votes. Once again, when the mayor proposed this budget, we went through the amendment process June 17th of this year, and Councilmember Holm and I voted no. And the reasons that I stated at the time were we were taking in less money than we were spending. I said we cannot do that. There are a lot of other issues, underfunded pension liabilities, swaps that are coming up, which have to do with refinancing bonds with our water system, the enterprise fund that funds the water system, a number of things. But long and short of it, condensing it down to blue-collar language, which I like to do, is that we're spending more money than we're taking in. While that sounds bad, it reflects that we've had a drop in revenue. We've had a drop in revenue across the board. Sales taxes and projected property tax revenue drops because of home valuations being lower. So we get most of our budget money from sales tax, which we cannot control, and from ad valorem taxes on real estate and personal business property taxes, and we cannot control those valuations either. So we're spending money based on money that we cannot really predict, if you will, because things are still fluid. Houston is now starting to feel the effects of the national recession, and we're going to have to be very careful in projects that we fund and how we spend our money. I would like to say that while being a critic of the administration's budget, like I was, I do want to publicly say that my contribution was to turn down a $19 million capital improvement project in my district, and it was a bridge on Fuquay going over the railroad tracks at Makawa. The $19 million included land acquisition, construction cost, engineering, and other associated costs of the project. I proved to the mayor and to the director of Public Works that it was not a necessary project because the CIP process takes so long for things to get done that when this bridge was proposed, it was needed. There was a real need for a bridge over those railroad tracks. But over the 7 to 9 years that it took for the project to move up to the top of the list, coincidentally, two other bridges were built, one within 0.8 miles, built by the city of Houston, the other within 1 mile, built by Harris County Toll Road Authority. And I literally stood on the street and I said, if I'm in a car, is it worth $19 million of tax dollars for me to go across the railroad track here, or can I drive 0.8 miles that way, or 1 mile that way, and cross the same railroad track? The mayor agreed with me. He then instituted a policy citywide where every CIP project now has to be reapproved and evaluated every 2 years so that problems like this don't happen again.
Okay. Now, well, I certainly agree with your assessment that the city's issues right now are, you know, a drop in revenue. And it seems like a lot of the focus on the financial picture is on the expenditure side. The mayor was talking about cuts. Everyone's talking about cuts. Everyone I've talked to in all interviews, you know, focuses on where we can save money. I wonder, though, it seems like, you know, the biggest part of the city's budget is public safety, you know, police and fire, and a big chunk of their budgets are things like salaries and pensions, which either there's only so much we can do about, or in the case of salaries, you know, we want more police officers, that's going to cost more money. You know, given that we can't reduce some of these expenses or that we don't want to, why isn't there more focus on the revenue side as well? What can we do to make sure that we're able to pay for the things we want and need to pay for?
Yeah. You know, I said earlier that most of our money comes from ad valorem taxes and from sales tax revenues. The balance of the budget, well, let me first say, you cannot increase sales tax revenues.
Right.
It's a function of people spending money. You cannot increase ad valorem taxes. It's a function of valuation assigned to property by the Harris County Appraisal District.
We can increase the tax rate.
You can. And that's a separate issue from your question in that you talked about what can we do to increase revenue. There are other parts of the budget that are permit fees, building fees, business licenses, occupancy licenses, a number of licensing, permitting, and fees that generate tens of millions of dollars a year. And those are all down as a result of a drop in the economy. So you could not practically or politically raise those fees to a level to increase revenue, much less replace lost revenue. When you combine sales tax, ad valorem tax, permit fees, other sources of revenue, there's no way to increase all of those enough to continue the spending rate that we have. I don't think any mayor, not in this city anyway, could ever survive trying to do that. So your only choice is to, one, spend yourself into a growing deficit, which no council will support, or to reduce costs. My background politically is from a school board, the Humble Independent School Board, where I was a trustee, and 87% of our budget was salaries, much like your example of public safety being mostly salaries. In the school district, we could reduce salaries, and the risk was teachers would go to an adjacent district and make the same or more money. In the city of Houston, we cannot reduce our salaries because of union contracts with public safety, fire, and police. And now, and I voted against this, but now we have a Houston Municipal Employee Union. And I voted against it and said at the time, we're setting up ourselves to obligate future revenue for salaries that we don't know if we can afford. we are there today. I'm the only person that said that, and no one else is saying it. But I will say it because it is true. My staff and every single city employee gets an automatic 3% raise every year because of the contract. Truth be known, not every city employee is even a member of the union. We have 20-plus thousand employees, and while I can't get a hard number of how many are members of the union, the number that I hear is just barely over 3,000 members. 3,000 city employees are members of the union. However, every single city employee gets a mandated raise, which we can't pay for, but they still get it. So all of these problems are converging, and there's no single source, no single one thing that will get us out of the hole. And we've just got to spend less. That's not my Republican philosophy speaking. That is just reality.
Okay. One thing that's going on right now, more of a Harris County issue, is talk about commuter rail in various places. One route would be between Houston and Galveston, and I think it's safe to assume that such a line might include stops in Clear Lake. Can you talk a little about that?
I can, and I'm very excited about that. I have been an opponent of light rail because, I would like to see rail serving the suburbs. Light rail is serving a need closer to the center of downtown, and while that, is established need, I have seen, and I live in the suburbs, or probably live in the suburbs, but I've seen more people that I think have a direct need to get from the suburbs to the employment center of downtown and then maybe transfer out to other areas. Commuter rail is very exciting for me because it would run through Clear Lake, and there is an economic development group in Clear Lake called BAHEP, Bay Area Houston Economic Partnership. And then there's another organization called BayTran, which used to be Bay Area Transportation Network. And there is almost unanimous consensus of support for commuter rail. And we are looking at possibility of where the rail stations would be along Highway 3 Corridor and who it would serve and the infrastructure that would be needed to support commuter rail. Now, one factor that needs to be taken into account is that there are a number of municipalities along Highway 3 besides the city of Houston. And we need to make sure that we bring all of those other entities in. We have Galveston County, League City, Webster, and then a number of other small cities along the way. So we all have to be at the table for this project.
Okay. One of the things that council will take up in 2011 is the issue of redistricting. We're going to have to redraw city council lines and add in two more districts. The obvious question is, should Kingwood and Clear Lake continue to be in the same district? Mm-hmm. What's your opinion of that, and how do you want to see the redistricting process go when we tackle it?
Right. Well, our city charter calls for redistricting at about 190,000 residents. District E right now, according to the city's own figures, has 263,000 residents. So with bringing in two additional seats, every city council district giving up some part of their population, I think we can balance the population out to meet the charter. The bigger question is, what does that mean to District E? Kingwood and Clear Lake are very similar and have a lot of similarities in that. When we talk about Clear Lake, the city of Houston portion of Clear Lake is really actually defined as Clear Lake City, which was developed by Friendswood Development years ago. In Kingwood, all of the city of Houston portion is Kingwood, which was also developed by Friendswood. So we have basically infrastructure that's still serving well. Water, wastewater improvements have been made. We're now starting to kind of rebuild and spend significant money on our infrastructure with respect to roads. We're making traffic improvements, as I mentioned a few minutes ago. I think that District E will probably stay the same. I think that Kingwood and Clear Lake being together makes sense. We're not competing for anything other than projects, to be honest with you, whereas other districts are competing for a lot of other things. And I have talked to my constituents about being careful what they wish for, in that if we try to divide Kingwood and Clear Lake, very likely there would be a tremendous drop-off in services because in the north sector, we would probably be pushed over into Jarvis Johnson's district, which is District B. where there are an entirely different need of city services. Health clinics, higher crime areas, open ditches, dilapidated houses that need to be torn down, dangerous buildings, on and on and on. When you are competing in those areas for tax dollars, those are probably going to take precedent over building a new library, building a new community center, widening a road. In Clear Lake, it's a similar situation in that if you push Clear Lake into either James Rodriguez's district, which is I, it's an older area with a lot of infrastructure needs and a lot of social service needs. Or you could push it to the west and push it into Wanda Adams' district, same thing. High crime, dense housing, old infrastructure, open ditches, those areas of service, city service needs have to be met. Once again, it takes away from not amenities, but other types of projects that are currently being paid for and funded by Clear Lake. So someone may say, well, heck, that's not fair. Well, yes, it is fair, because the home values in Kingwood and Clear Lake are higher than the city's averages, and those homeowners are paying city taxes, and they deserve city projects as well. So while on the social service side it may appear to be different, reality is Kingwood and Clear Lake are giving money to these other areas that do not generate enough tax revenue on their own. I will tell you in the public, over 7% of the city's tax revenue comes from Kingwood alone, and they deserve projects, and that's what I'm here to fight for. And speaking of that, let me take just a moment to talk about the budget process this year. I have an opponent this year, and my opponent and my critics have criticized me publicly for what they're calling grandstanding, because I offered 28 budget amendments for my council district. Mayor White said before the budget process that there would be no district-specific budget amendments. Well, that might have sounded like an order, and a lot of council members up here said, well, gee, the mayor doesn't want them, so we're not going to do it. But I'm here to say publicly now, and I will say publicly on the campaign trail, I don't work for the mayor. And I don't care what the mayor says at the table. I work for my constituents. My responsibility is to deliver projects and tax dollars back to my district. And if it means offering budget amendments at the table, I'm going to do it. A lot of my colleagues criticize me and try to embarrass me at the table, Peter Brown in particular. Well, if Peter wants to go through life doing exactly what the mayor tells him to do, that's his business. But Mike Sullivan's not going to do that, because Mike Sullivan works for the voters. And my responsibility is to the constituent.
Well, Peter Brown, of course, wants to be mayor, not necessarily do what the mayor says. He wants to be the one saying. What should the next mayor of Houston's priorities be?
Well, I think this mayor has set up a lot of good programs that I hope any mayor who comes behind us follows, and that's good business principle practices, best practices in city departments, hiring people from the private sector, bringing them in, making it attractive for them to run city departments. I have been excited to work here during this administration, and to be honest with you, I wish that I could have worked with this administration when they were first sworn in. It's going to be a challenge working with any mayor going forward, both economic and philosophically. Mayor White is a businessman who's been very successful in business, and that does not always mean making money. While he has been successful in that area, his management style has been tremendously successful here. We've streamlined a lot of departments, from permitting to processing, from hiring people and hiring the best. This mayor holds people accountable and says in public at the council table, if we have city employees that are not performing, they need to be fired. Well, I've never heard that from a mayor before, and it needs to be said again. If an employee won't perform in the private sector, you replace him or her. In the city, it's never been done before, but now it is being done. And I think when employees know that, especially department heads, they're going to be driven to perform to a higher level, and that's what we need to do. We need to push our employees to do better. We have great employees, don't get me wrong, not about trying to be a critic, but I'm saying that type of philosophy serves all Houstonians well. This mayor respects and works with the private sector, which is also good. So instead of being the 800-pound gorilla and forcing things down business's throat, he brings them to the table and makes them a part of the solution. And I think that's really good.
Do you have a preference in this mayoral election?
I do, yes, sir.
You care to state it on the record?
The day after my election's over, I will.
All right, fair enough.
Yes, sir.
And when people go to the ballot box on November 3rd, why should they vote for you and not for one of your opponents?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I think it's a good question, and I need to be prepared to answer that every day, and that's that we are doing what we said we would do. When we campaigned 2 years ago, those five principles that I promised I would deliver on, we've done that and more. I've also stepped up to the plate in a leadership role, unlike any other council member, in that when we had our hurricane, no one planned for it. I was the official city-county liaison between Mayor White and Harris County Judge Ed Emmett, and worked with both of them on a daily basis at either the Heck Center or at Transtar. It was literally sleeping 3 to 4 hours a day, a night, if you will, on a cot here in my city council office and not going home, and then would work with them the next day around the clock. So we stepped up and did a lot. We did everything from working on emergency water needs and generator needs with the Corps of Engineers and the Army to city departments to carrying out orders and directives from Mayor White. I was really involved at a high level and stepped up and made a lot of personal sacrifices. Some of that was seen publicly by my constituents who saw me at all the press conferences. A lot of my neighbors in Kingwood and Clear Lake know that I was down in the community on a regular basis checking on them and then coming back to City Hall and sleeping. And that's a real commitment to this district.
All right, Councilmember Mike Sullivan, thank you very much for talking to me
today. Thank you, Duff. Always a pleasure, sir.
All right.